Before I go on sharing, I just like to start up with a story. This is a story that actually happened. My wife and I, we were still in Singapore. We just got married. And we decided in the morning that together we're going to go and have a breakfast together. And we said, let's go and have breakfast. And we went into a hawker center, which is like a food court. And I really wanted to eat noodles. And so I went into the shop and I ordered some noodles with beef, pork, and mutton. You can tell me how confused I am, right? And so I came, I took the food and I came and I sat down and I start eating. And it was, the mutton was so soft. It was cooked so well. And the pork tasted so well. And I turned to my wife and I said, darling, this meat, I have never tasted this meat, this tender and this nice. It's so nice. And she turns around to me and says, darling, that's not meat. It's a vegetarian meat. And I said, no, darling, you are confused. I know my taste, how I have tasted the meat, and I know my tongues are still working. It's meat. I tasted. Literally, it is mutton. I tasted. It is a mutton. And I started arguing with her. You know, the man is always right. So, you know, what does my wife knows, right? I'm the one who ate. So I've been arguing and arguing. And she said, no, it's not meat. It's vegetarian. Look at the sign, the shop. And I turned around. I didn't want it to look in case I'm wrong. So I turned around and I looked at the shop. It says, vegetarian noodle shop. I was completely deceived. I was eating vegetarian food and I thought it is meat. I literally thought it is meat. So it deceived me. Today, I'm going to share about deception. So deception is defined as the act of causing someone to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. The interesting thing about deception is nobody that is deceived thinks they are deceived. Because it becomes so real to you and it becomes so true to you and you start to live in that, even though it is a lie, but you start to live in it, so it becomes true to you. There is a scripture. Deception is not really a new weapon of the enemy. It is a way before, 6,000 years ago, devil used this weapon on Adam and Eve. If we look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 6, very familiar scripture that we all know and we all have read this scripture for many, many times probably. We probably even remember and memorize them. But if we go back and read that scripture again, and I just want to unpack a simple statement there. Let's read together. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden. Just look at the word that I have highlighted. Did God really say? Moving on. Of course, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat or even touch it. If you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it will give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. It's a really interesting scripture that we all have read before. It is the first fall of humanity that human being chose to disobey God's command. But Eve was deceived because she believed in a lie from the devil. She was deceived because she gave more weight to what the devil was saying, what the serpent was saying, than what God expected from her. Did God really said? Don't you hear this word in your own time, sometimes in your life? Did God really say he will heal you? Did God really say that he will provide you? Look at you. Financially, you are struggling so much. Physically, you are struggling so much. Did God really promise? Did God really? Does healing still available today? Really? So once devils start to bring this kind of think and thoughts in our head, we start to play with those words in our head, and our mind becomes a playground of the devil. And now, pretty soon, we don't even realize that we have already walked away from what God has actually promised, what God has actually said to us, and believe a lie from the devil, because the lie seems so convincing that it becomes real to us. Same thing happened to Adam and Eve. Because devil said, you won't die. No, you won't. God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. No, you won't die. Eat it. You won't die. God is keeping something from you. Because God knows that the moment you eat it, your eyes will be open. Their eyes were already open. They could see. What is this talking about? It's talking about your eyes of your heart will be open, and now you will be able to choose, like God, what is good and what is evil for yourself. Today's world we live in, who decides what's good and what's evil? Who decides what is good and what is evil? The world and people in this world, independently by themselves, They decide what is good and what is evil. We have gone so far away. And sadly, today even Christians fall into that category that they decide for themselves what is good and what is evil. The Word of God does not hold any weight on our decision making anymore. Because people say this word has been written and rewritten and rewritten and copied for so long that it has lost its value. Today we are sitting here. My challenge is, do you independently decide what is good and what is evil? Something to think about. Do you decide what sort of value, what sort of morals, what sort of lifestyle that you want to live? Do you decide yourself without consulting with the Holy Spirit and God and the Word of God? Do you decide for yourself what is good and what is evil? It's really easy for us to fall into this category because we are human. We are fallen being, redeemed by the grace of God. But we still are in this world. And we still are tempted and tested by the evil one. Or tempted and tested by our own evil desires as well. So therefore, it is important for us to really think through our decisions that we make, the things that we choose, the lifestyle that we live. It is so important for us to consult with the Holy Spirit and read the Word of God so we are not falling into the same temptation as the world falls into to make a decision on ourselves what is good and what is evil. So the fruits, it's not about apple or orange or this or that. We argue about what fruit Adam and Eve ate. What was the fruit? That is beside the point. The fruit that they eat was the knowledge of the good and evil. So they can make themselves the decision they want to make and live the life that they want to live despite of God and His Word. That was the fruit. We value so much today, our opinions. We value so much about what feels good and what feels right to me. And we live and lead our life with that value system. My way is the highway. I am sitting on the throne. No one should tell me. Pastor should not tell me. Leaders should not tell me. My parents should not tell me. My friends should not tell me how to live. I live the way I want it. It's my right. I'm sorry, I'm not angry. I'm just passionate. Because we have so much from God. Our Heavenly Father loves us so much that He wants to give you more. He wants to bless you more. He wants to make your life better more. He wants to empower you to live a life that is godly, live a life that will other people look at you and say, he or she is a Christian. And even people in the New Testament, when they saw disciples, when people saw disciples, they knew from far away they are Christians. Today, Christians, non-Christians, there's no difference. The difference is we come to church, they don't come to church. Monday to Saturday, we live the same way that they live. We use the same word like they do. We speak the same language as they speak. There's no difference. Why? Because we have chosen, we are still eating the same fruit that Adam and Eve ate. to make independently what is good and what is evil and make a decision ourselves and disregard God completely. We don't think that way, but we do live that way. So it's a challenge, and I'm not accusing anybody doing that. It is a challenge from the Word of God to really, really search our heart. Ask the Spirit of God to say, Holy Spirit, search my heart. Because God has so much for you. He has a life that you could never even imagine. He has things for you that you have never even dreamed of. And He has a plan for your life that supersedes everything else, because He loves you and me. And we will never lose anything by living godly life. Devil also wanted not only deceive Adam and Eve, they fell into deception. Devil also tried to do that with Jesus, didn't he? Holy Spirit brought him to wilderness, and quickly the devil comes and starts tempting him with words. And devil tempts Jesus with the Word of God itself. And Jesus used the Word of God, saying, hey, you actually don't know who I am. You know the words, but I am the Word. Devil seems to know a lot about the Bible because he quotes the scripture. So if devil knows the Word and he quotes the scripture, is he saved? No. Why not? Because he's not living by the Word. You might know the Word of God. You might speak the Word of God. You might even quote the scripture. Does not necessarily you are living by the scripture. So the Word of God is so important for us, in order for us nowadays. You can hear the Word of God. You know, you just type in YouTube. You can go Google and you can find thousands of sermons and preaching and words that you can hear on the internet. But we need to be very careful, because the Bible says in the last days, people will gather the preachers and pastors that they want to hear. What the preacher and pastor are saying about their lifestyle, what suits them, what they like, they want to gather up these preachers and pastors, and they will hear this word, and people will be deceived. Yeah. So scripture warns us against that as well. We need to be very mindful, even if it's the Word of God, we need to be mindful what we are listening to, because what we listen to, it goes in, and we start acting out. And after a while, it becomes a belief system. So it's so important for us to listen to the Word of God. Not only listen, but open your Bible and start reading what they're expounding, what they are saying. Is that really the Word of God? Is that really what it says? Because we are blessed with the written Word. And we need to open them and we need to read. Because once we go into the Word of God and we start to read and see what the Word of God says, we can hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us, and we can recharge our spirit more and more every day. We don't have to always rely on a second-hand messages. We can get the first-hand input from God Himself, the Spirit of God. This word, it's a spiritual word. When you open, it's a physical word. You can see it's red, black and white. It's written here. But when we start to read the Word of God, and I sit down and I start to read the Word of God, and I invite the Holy Spirit, include the Spirit of God, and say, Spirit of God, speak to me what you are saying to me today. Speak through this Word, and that Word becomes Rhema Word. Means it's alive, it's real. And that Rhema Word is for you, not for anybody else. It's for you. So if you need healing, if you want your body to be healed, start to read the Word of God. Find a healing scripture. Start to read and pray. Spirit of God, give me the Word. Let the Word become Rhema. And the moment that Word becomes Rhema to you, what happens is that your body starts to align because you are reading, and miraculously your body starts to really take hold of that. Your mind starts to renew and your soul starts to manifest, and the soul has to give way to the Spirit of God, and you are healed. Because a lot of the time, it's not God is not wanting to do something. It's we are not willing to sit down and seek Him. It's not God not wanting to do something. It's we who are not willing to sit down and seek Him. So, read the Word of God. Let the Word of God become Rhema. Sometimes people come to me and say, oh, it's written in the Word of God. Why is it not happening? Can I tell you the truth? Just because it is written here does not mean it will happen. This is a spiritual book. It's not a physical book. Just because it is written here, it's not going to happen. I'm sorry. It happens when the Logos, written word, becomes Rhema to your soul.
That's right.
Yeah?
Yes.
The Logos, that is written word, becomes Rhema to your soul.
Yes.
Even though it is written here, the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, need to make it so real to you at that time in the particular situation, and it will happen because the Spirit of God make it so real to you and become Rhema to you, and the Spirit of God spoke to you. Therefore, now it is done for you. So if we don't read the Word of God and really search the Scripture and really ask the Spirit of God to speak to my heart, just having the knowledge of the Word itself is not going to save us. We need to go in deeper. Read, ask, involve the Spirit of God. And read, involve the Spirit of God. Read, involve the Spirit of God. Wait upon the Lord. They who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Amen.
Wait upon God, and God will help you. So, devil wanted to tempt Jesus, but he used the Word of God. So we need to know the Word of God in order for when you know the Word of God that devil used was out of context. So when someone uses the Word of God out of context, if you are reading the Word of God and you have the discernment of the Spirit that comes from the Holy Spirit, you will be able to discern what is wrong with the quotation of that scripture. So it's really important. In John 10:10, you need to hurry up. John 10:10, it talks about the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to give us life in abundance.
Amen.
So everything, sometimes people have said to me, oh, we should not focus too much on the devil. Don't focus too much on the devil. Correct, right. It's true. We should not. But we should not be naive either.
That's right.
As a believer, of course, I'm in the kingdom of God. As long as I have surrendered to the King, who is Jesus Christ, and to His dominion, we are safe.
Yes.
we are fine. But there are times, like Adam and Eve, we like to eat the fruit of good, knowledge of good and evil. You know, we go wandering around sometimes. And what we do is, by doing that, of course God doesn't reject us, but we walk away from his authority into the demonic territory that are strongholds.
That's right.
And when we go into enemy's territory, what happens? Enemy has a right over our life. God owns we are in the kingdom of God, but enemy disguises itself and comes and wants to steal your joy and kill your peace and destroy your soul. That's the enemy's plan. Because we are in the kingdom of God, devil becomes our enemy. And devil is there wanting as many souls as possible. He wants to take with him to the eternal separation from God, which is called hell. And his plan is always to steal, kill, and destroy. And he does it really well. And most of the time, he uses people. He uses weaker vessels that are not completely surrendered to God, uses them to actually steal, kill, and destroy. Take away our joy. Someone comes to you and suddenly you are worshiping. You have just done amazing worship and everything, and comes to you and gives you a bad report. You are up and going, and someone comes and plays a nasty joke on you, or something he says or she says, or comes and gives you a negative word. And those times when we are really, really up and we are prayed up and we are read up the Bible and we are ready, and the devil comes and starts to use people and wants to steal our joy, kill our peace, and destroy our soul. That's all devil wants to do. That's the plan of the devil. So we need to be, as the Bible says in 1 Peter 5 verse 8, talks about, he says, stay alert. Bible warns us, saying, this will happen, so therefore, stay alert. You need to be alert. Don't sleep while service is going on. Sorry.
That's right. Come on.
Stay alert. Don't spiritually sleep. Don't go into slumber. Don't become so comfortable. Because the moment you are not ready, devil comes and attack. And his attack is real. It's not something that I made up. It's real. Devil comes and attack, and you are just crumbled under the pressure, because that's what the devil wanted. So we need to be always alert and be ready and watchful. You know, deception, I got this somewhere. I wrote it down. I can't remember where I got this from, but this quote is not mine. I borrowed it. I don't know who I borrowed from, but I borrowed it. Deception is, first, unperceived temptation, followed by unrecognized rebellion. It's unperceived temptation, followed by unrecognized rebellion. Ultimately, in the end, we are rebelling against God. And as you can imagine, if we rebel against God, God always wins. We lose. So it's so important for us to really be alert. And the scripture, Hosea 4 verse 6, talks about, my people are being destroyed because they don't know me. That's a very sad scripture. I find some version says, people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Here, it talks about they don't know me. And I think I like that. We are Christian, believer, follower of Jesus Christ does not mean we actually know him. It's the sad thing, one day when we appear before God and he said, I don't know you because you never knew me. So what we need to do is we need to be alert and always be ready. So our time is going. I'm going to go into John chapter 8, verse 12. It says, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. So Jesus is the light, and we don't have to walk in the darkness. So when Bible talks about light and darkness, talking about our deeds, it always talks about the deeds, the action. It's not so much what we believe, it's about how we act. What are the deeds of the darkness? The things that are ungodly, the things that are not good. And the things, when we live in the light, we live in the truth. Because light exposes everything. So we have nothing to hide. We live in the light. Because when the light turns on, darkness is gone. So if we continue to live in the light, means live in the truth, in the light of Christ, there's nothing to hide about ourselves. We are the same people, what we show to be now, and we are the same person when we go home from here. We have nothing to hide because we live in the light. In conclusion, in 2 Corinthians 4:2, it talks about we reject all the shameful deeds of the darkness again, and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God, and all who are honest know this. And the end, I will leave you with this challenge. Knowing the devil is a deceiver and a liar, no truth in him, we need to be alert all the time. Knowing just devil is a deceiver and liar does not save us. We need to be always alert. We need to trust God. When our feelings does not in line with what God says, we need to let my feelings go and believe in what the Word of God says. Amen. Don't put your feelings over the Word of God. He loves you, but our feelings does not always tell the truth. We need to make sure the Word of God is trusted. And lastly, we need to live in the truth. That was living in the light means. You know, I as we close our eyes for a minute, I don't really know everybody, and I don't know if you are here for the first time or you have been here many times. But you have never publicly declared Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in your life. I want to pray for you. And it will be my pleasure and to pray with you to lead you to Christ. As we all stand, please. This is for the people who have never publicly accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. In order for us to enter into the kingdom of God, we need to accept the King, Jesus Christ. And you become a child of God. And if you are here for the first time or many times, but you have never accepted Jesus in this way, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. Just signify me so I can pray for you. Just raise your right hand and you can put it down. Is there anyone today would like to accept Jesus in their life? Is there anybody? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that hand. Just one. Any more? Anyone? All right. I'm assuming that everybody here is a believer. Thank you for hearing this word, but I will encourage all of you to really surrender your life to God and His word and live within the boundaries that is provided for us from the word of God. And really let go of your own desire to be choosing what is good and evil for yourself. And let the word of God and God choose for you and follow the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. What I want to pray for all of us here, I want to pray against deception. We're just going to renounce, we're just going to pray, and we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to really protect us, all of us. Amen. And we ask Holy Spirit to endow us, give us with the discernment of the Spirit. Everybody, that's a gift that everybody can have. And let's ask the Holy Spirit to do that right now, all right? Let's open our hands and lift our hands up. Holy Spirit, I come to you right now. Spirit of God, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. We give you all the praise and honor. Lord, we know there is an enemy that wants to destroy our lives, but you want to give us abundant life, and we choose you, God. We choose you, Lord. We thank you, God. And I pray for each and every one of us here right now. I command every spirit of deception that is deceiving people and bring it lies into their lives. I command it in the name of Jesus to leave them right now. And we pray, oh God, that Holy Spirit, please give us the gifts of discernment of the spirits. Let we'll be able to discern what is good and what is from you and what is not from you. And Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we honor you, Lord. Thank you for this word. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, everyone say, Amen. Amen.